माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरीवर धारी जय गिरीवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरीवर धारी जय गिरीवर धारी जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जन रंजना जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 15. Chapter 15 is entitled Instructions for Realized Civilized Human Beings. And today we are on Text 70. ರೂಪಪೇಶಲಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಸೌಗಂಧ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯ ದರ್ಶನ ಸೌಗಂಧ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯ ದರ್ಶನ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪ್ರಿಯತಮೋ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪ್ರಿಯತಮೋ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಮತ್ತಸ್ವಪುರಲಂಪಟಃ ರೂಪಪೇಶಲಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಸೌಗಂಧ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯದರ್ಶನ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪ್ರಿಯತಮೋ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಮತ್ತಸ್ವಪುರಲಂಪಟಃ ರೂಪಪೇಶಲಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಸೌಗಂಧ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯದರ್ಶನ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪ್ರಿಯತಮೋ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಮತ್ತಃ ಸ್ವಪುರಲಂಪಟಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವೀಸ್ Word to word to word translation rupa beauty peshala formation of the body madhurya attractiveness Saugandhya, very fragrant, being decorated with various flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. Priya Darshanaha, very beautiful to see. Strinam, of the woman. Priyatamaha, naturally attracted. Nityam, daily. Matta, proud like a madman. Swapura, in his own city. Lampataha, very much attached to women because of lusty desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure. Decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp, I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus, I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. Purport. From the description of the beauty of Narad Muni when he was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, it appears that everyone on that planet is extraordinarily beautiful and pleasing and always decorated with flowers and sandalwood. Upaharana was Narad Muni's name previously. Upaharana was specifically expert in decorating himself to attract the attention of women, and thus he became a playboy, as described in the next verse. To be a playboy in this life is unfortunate, because too much attraction to women will lead one to fall into the association of Shudras, who can easily take advantage of mingling with women without any restriction. In this present age of Kali, when people are Manda Sumanda Matayo. One second, I'll read from here. Very bad because of Shudra mentality, such free mingling is prominent. Among the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, there is no chance of men to mingle with women freely. But in the Shudra community, such mingling is open. Because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali, everyone is spiritually untrained, and everyone is therefore to be considered Shudra, Ashuddha Shudra Kalpahi, Brahmana Kali Sambhavaha. When all the people become Shudras, certainly they are very bad, Manda Sumanda Matayo. Thus, they manufacture their own way of life. With the result, they gradually become unfortunate, Manda Bhagya. And furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the senior devotees, we'll attempt to speak a little bit on this verse. So we have heard since yesterday, Narad Muni has started talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj about his previous lifetime. This is an ongoing conversation. The last 10 verses of this chapter are left. So this is an ongoing conversation between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj, where we saw so many instructions and beautiful instructions on how civilized human being life should be led. We saw instructions on how Grahastha should lead lives, how Vanaprastha should lead life. So we saw various instructions which are quite applicable. in today's context as well. And we see that obviously Narad Muni is not speaking for just Yudhishthir Maharaj's pleasure, because already he has reiterated to them in the next few verses also, he will reiterate to Narad, to Yudhishthir Maharaj, that all of you Pandavas are extremely fortunate because you all had the direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, and you know, when he started describing his own pastime, so already Narad Muni is recognizing that Yudhishthir Maharaj is a great personality. He doesn't sort of need all these instructions, but the Bhagavatam is always very instructive for everybody throughout all the ages. Not just, you know, Satya Yuga or Dwapar Yuga or Treta Yuga, but especially people of the Kali Yuga. So we are seeing these instructions are going on right now, and since yesterday, Narad Muni started telling his own story. And it is always said that when you are telling someone something or when you're trying to drive home a point, even in management language it is said that you, or if you speak from your personal experience and you be vulnerable and you actually show what you went through and how you came out of that particular struggle and how there is the danger of, you know, what you experience, others might experience. So you share your shortcomings, you share your failures, and especially what you learn from those failures, that can have a much more profound impact. Even in management circles, we see this, you know, being said when people give speeches or management talks or whatever, or even when leaders are trying to motivate their team members. But all the more we see that being demonstrated over here in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Narad Muni's own example. And this is not the first time Narad Muni is doing this. Narad Muni has already again, once again, spoken from his own personal example quite a few cantos ago as well. Does anyone know which canto did Narad Muni speak his own story previously? On what occasion? Yes, he spoke it in the first canto to Vyasadev. So when Vyasadev was feeling very despondent, and we know that pastime from the first canto, Vyasadeva actually sat down in meditation and then he saw that, you know, what ages are going to come now. And therefore he created the Vedas, he divided them. Then he realized that, no, this is, Vedas are too complicated. So he then wrote the Mahabharata for the less intelligent and the women and the Shudras. And also like that, he took great care in disseminating knowledge so that the age that he was seeing coming would not have so much effect, and people would have some sort of tools to take resort or shelter of when, you know, they go through any turbulent times in their life. However, even after doing all that, Vyasadeva was not satisfied, as we know in the first canto. And just when you're, you know, extremely dissatisfied in life and you don't know where to go, especially in your spiritual life, Krishna always, and you know, for a sincere person like Vyasadeva, Krishna always sends someone to help. And that time, Vyasadeva's guru, Narad Muni, arrived over there. And while he was, you know, trying to tell Vyasadeva about what is it that he has missed, that important ingredient or important thing that he missed while he was trying to make, you know, make the way, write the Vedas and divide them and write the Mahabharata and all that, he actually told his own story at that time. But that time he did not tell that this particular pastime of his previous life. That time he told the maidservant's pastime. How he was born as a maid servant, how by serving great Vaishnava so much good is done, how he heard the Bhagavatam, like, you know, Bhagavat Katha from them. So like that, Narad Muni at that time told that particular experience of his, because there was a certain lesson he wanted Vyasadeva to learn. And in this particular verse, in Canto 7, we are seeing when he's talking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, he's talking, because he's talking about civilized human beings. So now Narad Muni is talking about the previous, why he became a maidservant's son. And that is what Narad Muni is going back and describing to Yudhishthir Maharaj. He's saying that he was born, he was actually in his previous lifetime a beautiful Gandharva named Upabharhana. And he was extremely pleasing to look at. Very beautiful bodily features, very attractive personality, very fragrant because of applying so many perfumes and all that, very beautiful clothing, and very good singing ability as well. He's a Gandharva. So imagine, all in one, like, you know, what Hollywood and Bollywood actors, actresses are desiring, he has all in one. He can sing well also, and he's also very beautiful to look at. So all those ingredients are there in one, but he was not utilizing it properly. And that is what he was trying to tell Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Prabhupada says over here in this particular purport, Prabhupada says that he had almost become like a playboy. Prabhupada uses that word. Playboy. Prabhupada says that playboy means who is a playboy? Someone who is very attractive to look at, but he is using that bodily attraction just for attracting other women. And that is what Prabhupada is warning over here. Prabhupada says that unfortunately it is not good. Prabhupada says unfortunately it is not very good to be a playboy specially, you know, and Prabhupada is now talking about the effect in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said everybody in Kali Yuga is manda sumanda matayo. Everybody is already very misfortunate and everybody is extremely misguided in Kali Yuga. So therefore this particular proposition of, you know, having an attraction to women and all that is not very good. Because who does that? Which type of community usually does that? Where they are allowed, again Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, where they are allowed to have this free mingling. So there was a community which was allowed to have this free mingling even during those ages, but that was the Shudra community. Now Narad Muni in the Gandharva Loka, which is a higher planet than the earthly planet, over there he is displaying what actually Shudras would display on the earthly planet. So therefore he then had to take the birth as a Shudra. He had to take the birth as the son of a maidservant. That okay, you are displaying the quality of a Shudra where you want to freely mingle with women and associate with women without any restriction. Because Brahmana, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas, they don't usually do this. They will enter into marriage, they will have proper code of conduct with women, respect for women, but here it is not like that. And Prabhupada is saying that that is why he had to come down as a maidservant later on, as the son of a maidservant, and he had to live that lifetime of a Shudra. So we see that Narad Muni is warning Yudhishthir Maharaj over here, and through Yudhishthir Maharaj he is warning all of us, the people of Kali Yuga, where Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everybody is a Shudra in Kali Yuga. Everybody has a Shudra mentality. Already this tendency is there. Like we don't have to, you know, really try hard to get this tendency. That tendency is already there. We have to actually try very hard to prevent this tendency inside us of, you know, attraction to the opposite sex. Not everything is not directed towards sex life. In fact, we know in Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto, 5th chapter, 8th verse, there's a beautiful verse about this. It says, Pumsa Striya Maithuni Bhavanetam Tayor Mito Ridaya Grantham Ahum Aho Kshetra Graha Sutapta Graviter Janasya Mohamyam Aham Mameti. What does this mean? It means that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of aham and mameti, thinks in terms of I and mine. So this is a very, very potent and very important verse Srila Prabhupada quotes quite often when he talks about this attraction between men and women. So Prabhupada time and again, in fact Bhagavatam time and again throughout warns about the ill effects of getting attracted to a woman. Especially Bhagavatam warns about the ill effects of getting attracted, or you know, the association of men who are attracted to a woman. Because sometimes, you know, it might be a bit hard for you to directly like fall for a woman or try to do those playboy things which we see Narad Muni doing over here. However, if you are attached to men who are actually attached to women, they will make you do that. Just as we say, you know, the opposite way also. We say that in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is more to be in association of devotees, sincere devotees, because they will make you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In the same way, please be away, Prabhupada warns, from men who are attached to women, because they will make you fall for those women, even if you didn't have any attraction for the woman. In fact, we see the effects also of going on, even young people. Like I was just reading on the news, very recently, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, some year 12 boys in a prestigious grammar school were suspended. And why were they suspended? Because they did some body shaming for some girls in their class. They did rating. Actually, those boys were rating. Okay, this girl's body is like this. You know, they were giving them marks and all that. And this came to the knowledge of the school authorities. And there was some action taken and they were suspended. But this is just one example of amongst, you know, thousands of many. Especially in a country like Australia where we live, Western developed civilization, we see millions of these examples. sex education is imparted in primary school. And I was also shocked when my son had to like sit for that class, and thankfully it was optional. We could opt out of it. But when I inquired, I asked at such a young age, and they said yes, because boys and girls start becoming sexually active. They start becoming aware, and therefore we have to give them this training. So we see like so early this, you know, mentality is there, which Prabhupada is talking about in the purport over here, this playboy mentality and Kali Yuga. Anyway, everybody is Shudra, everybody is, you know, Mandabhagya, everybody is unfortunate. They already have this tendency inside them, and it is manifesting so early, in the early stages of life. At least, you know, earlier we used to see after teenage, adolescence, a bit later in life, but now we are seeing primary schools also. So that is why Prabhupada is time and again warning us that avoid the association of men who are attached to women, and avoid the association of women, because they are ultimately going to bind you up in this, you know, cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, and they are going to keep you continuously repeated in this life of birth and death. And throughout the Bhagavatam we see that. Many, many examples throughout every canto we see. Kapila Muni's instructions to Madhar Devahuti, we see these instructions. So sex life, the, you know, attraction to the opposite sex, this is a recurring theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. And you know, how much more can Narad Muni hammer it into someone's head, because Narad Muni is Bhakti Shakti of the Lord, he is the Guru. So how much more can he hammer it by other than showing by his own example that what he did, how he was just singing for the pleasure of those women, and then ultimately what result he had to suffer. Straight from such a high birth as a Gandharva, straight into the womb of a Shudra. But thankfully he had, his mother was a, you know, got the opportunity to serve some Vaishnava saints, and because of that Narad Muni then became Narad Muni in his next lifetime. But he went through this journey as an instructive journey for all of us. So this is what we can draw from this particular verse. Today is also the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. So we'll spend the next 25 to 30 minutes speaking a little bit about Gadadhar Pandit. He's an important personality in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, obviously. So Gadadhar Pandit in the Panchatattva. Here we don't have Panchatattva, but in Mayapur we see Panchatattva. Gadadhar Pandit is actually part of part of the Panchatattva. And we see Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is actually non-different from Lord Krishna. And he is obviously Channa Avatar. Lord Chaitanya is Channa Avatar. So he was playing the role. He is non-different. He is also Avatari. So he is playing the role of a devotee because he came as Channa Avatar in Kali Yuga. But he is actually non-different than Lord Krishna. And he has come down with the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come out. Now there are different purposes for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into this Kali Yuga. It's given very elaborately in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are three external and three internal reasons that are given. But the main internal reason was obviously that he came to experience, he wanted to experience the glory of Srimati Radharani. He wanted to experience and relish her wonderful bhava and the wonderful prema she has for Krishna. That is what he wanted to experience. And he also wanted to experience that particular happiness that Radharani used to get from, you know, Krishna's love. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. Krishna wanted to taste, and therefore he took the mood of Radharani and came. And also, you know, the highest ecstasy. So he wanted to experience taste, the bhava, and also the highest ecstasy which Radharani used to experience, which is only Radharani's prerogative. Nobody else has that, has entry into that particular bhava, and that is what Chaitanya, Lord Krishna wanted to taste. And therefore he came down as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste that highest ecstasy which Radharani would be experiencing when she would be associating with Lord Krishna. And obviously the external reason, as we all know, which is not less at all, not that the external reason is less important than the internal reason. The external reason was actually to establish the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and to spread the holy name and freely distribute love of Godhead to everybody. So he had come for this particular reason, and to assist the Lord in that particular pastime, in this external reason, of spreading the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and obviously to make him also experience that inner bhav which he came to taste of Srimati Radharani, there were four principal associates who actually descended with him. And the four principal associates, as we know, are part of the Panchatattva. So it was Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, and Srivas Pandit. So these four also appeared with him, and together they actually form the Panchatattva. Now, there is a famous verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 14th verse, where he offers, the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, offers his respects to all the five together. He says, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakhyam, Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So what does that mean? I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, who is non-different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So Krishna appeared in the form of a devotee, Bhakta Rupa. He appeared in the form of a devotee, and he appeared himself, but Channa Avatar, so came in the form of a devotee as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the expansion of a devotee, which is Swarupakam in Lord Nityananda Prabhu, as an incarnation of a devotee, Bhaktavataram as Advaita Prabhu, as a devotee, Bhakta, which is as Srivas Thakur, none other than Narad Muni, whose pastime we just discussed, and also the devotional energy that inspires a devotee, which is Bhakta Shaktikam, and that Bhakta Shaktikam is Gadadhar Pandit. Together they all came to propagate the Harinam Sankirtan as the Yuga Dharma for this particular age of Kali. We see also in the famous Jaya Jaya Gorachandir prayers, we see Dakhine Nitaichan Bame Gadadhara. So always I remember when I was very, very new to Krishna consciousness many, many years ago, I would forget which personality is which, especially when I saw the Panchatattva. So I would always remember, okay, you know, Lord Nityananda is always on this side, like, you know, to my left, and Gadadhar Pandit is always to my right. I had to remember all this, and you know, it's also there in the prayers, Dakhine Nitaichan Bame Gadadhara. So Gadadhar Pandit is standing where actually Radharani would stand, next to Krishna, which is because he is non-different than Radharani, and obviously Nityanand Prabhu is standing where Lord Balaram would stand next to Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's right hand side is obviously Lord. On his right-hand side is Nityananda, on his left-hand side is Gadadhar Pandit. Now, Gadadhar Pandit, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obviously appeared on a Purnima. So, Lord Krishna appeared on Ashtami, and Radharani also appeared on an Ashtami. So, both of them appeared on the Ashtami, which is halfway through the month, and therefore, Lunar cycle, yeah, which is halfway through the lunar cycle. So, and we see that Gadadhar Pandit, so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as both of them combined, he appeared on Purnima. So he appeared, they were both half and half, and he appeared on Purnima when it was full moon. And then when Gadadhar Pandit came, he actually, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken the bhava already of Radharani, and obviously he had come as complete manifestation of the bhava of Radharani, but he is non-different than Lord Krishna. So when Gadadhar Pandit appeared, he appeared actually on the day of Amavasya, which is today. And he appeared 1 year after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. So he was 1 year younger, but they were almost similar age. And it is said that since childhood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit were completely inseparable. They were extremely thick of friends and always together. So they studied in the same school, they, you know, did everything together. They went to Gangadas Pandit's Tol, that is where they were studying. So they would walk to the school together, they would come back from school together, they would study together, they would recite their verses and lessons together, they would play together, take bath in the Ganga together. So like that, they would always be together with each other. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was actually Nimai Pandit at that time, obviously he was a very naughty personality, as we know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes, Gadadhar Pandit was exactly the opposite. Gadadhar Pandit was an extremely sober, quiet, peaceful. He always, prefers solitude. He did not like too much of frivolity. And even since childhood, as a young child also, he was very indifferent to material existence. He was not very interested in all material things and all. Mataji, can I have some water, please? Thank you. So he was not very interested in any material things and all these things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always very, externally very frivolous, very naughty. We know so many pastimes he did with all the sadhus and all these things. So he and Nimai, but still they both were, even though natures were opposite, he and Chaitanya, Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were always inseparable, and they would not be able to bear separation for even for a moment from each other. In fact, Nimai Pandit, sometimes Nimai Pandit, because we know in his childhood and in his young age, he was manifesting the pastime of being a very, very great scholar, a Sanskrit scholar. So he would always challenge everyone to debates in his childhood. And he would also challenge Gadadhar Pandit to debates. He would say, Gadadhar, you tell me about this topic. What is your understanding? And then Gadadhar Pandit would explain in great detail whatever he knows. And then Nimai Pandit would completely thrash it. What you are saying is completely useless, Gadadhar. And he would completely thrash that argument. And he would establish his own argument. And then Gadadhar Pandit had become used to this now. So he would think, oh my God, let this argument come to an end and can I go home from here? So nobody wanted to continue having arguments with Nimai Pandit, because if they would counter argue, Nimai Pandit would counter that argument also and again thrash that argument. So Nimai Pandit was extremely scholarly, and he knew he could even thrash his own argument and reestablish that again, as we know. So nobody wanted to get into that debates, those debates and arguments with Nimai Pandit at all. Everybody, it is said that when devotees would see Nimai Pandits, they would change their route. So when after Gadadhar Pandit was defeated by Nimai Pandit, he said, now you go home. Gadadhar thankfully released him and allowed him to go. And he said, you go and study your lessons well, and you come back tomorrow and you tell me what you have now, what you have to tell me. Because what today explanation you gave was not good. So Gadadhar Pandit left from there, and then next day when he saw Nimai Pandit, he actually tried to change his route and went away somewhere else, because he didn't want to enter into one more argument. And again Nimai Pandit told him, he said, I know you changed your route because you didn't want to argue with me. So like that, this back and forth used to happen with Gadadhar Pandit and Nimai Pandit, and Nimai Pandit with other devotees as well. So Gadadhar Pandit used to sometimes tell Mukunda Datta, who was also there during that time, and he would tell Mukunda Datta that, it will be so nice if this Nimai Pandit, because Nimai Pandit came across as a very arrogant, grammarly scholar. So he said, it will be so nice if Nimai Pandit gave up all these attributes. Thank you so much. So it will be so nice. Gadadhar Pandit is telling Mukunda Datta, it will be so nice if Nimai Pandit gives up these attributes, this arrogance, this argumentative attitude, always wanting to debate, and such a big grammarly scholar, and what's the use of this study of grammar and Vedas and all that. Really, it will be so nice if Nimai Pandit becomes a devotee. So like that, all the devotees were always praying that Nimai Pandit would one day become a devotee. And since childhood he was like that. Gadadhar Pandit, like I said, was very sober and calm personality. And once Ishwarapuri was visiting Navadvip during this time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had still not manifested all his pastimes. And that time Ishwarapuri, actually, because whenever any saints would come, Gadadhar Pandit was very attracted to them. So because since childhood he was very devotionally minded, so he would go and meet those saints. So he went and met Ishwarapuri and took his blessings. And immediately Ishwarapuri was very attracted to this boy's simple qualities. So Ishwarapuri actually made him sit down, and he personally taught him his own book, which he himself had written, which was Sri Krishna Leelamrita. And this is the same book he had actually given to Nimai Pandit to edit. And that particular book Nimai Pandit did not edit out of respect. He was arrogant, but Nimai Pandit realized that, I should not even be speaking on this book at all. So this is the book which Ishwarapuri personally taught to Gadadhar Pandit just being attracted by his quality. And then we see further we see that after, you know, once, you know, because all the devotees were praying like this and, you know, fast forwarding some events, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came back from Gaya, he took his initiation, he came back and he was a completely changed personality. And that time, Gadadhar Pandit was one of the happiest people on earth to see this changed personality, that, oh, Nimai has now become a devotee. So he had started, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had started manifesting all his devotional ecstasies, all his restlessness, where is Krishna? All the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, had started manifesting that separation from Krishna, which Radharani would feel. And he was always restless. And he would sometimes, you know, ask Gadadhar Pandit. So once Gadadhar Pandit was visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his house, and that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in one of those moods where he was saying, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit took his hand and put it on his heart. And he said, look, Krishna is here in your heart. Now Gadadhar Pandit did not realize it will have such a reaction, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately, oh, really? So he immediately started tearing open his chest. He started scratching and deeply scratching. Because he thought, like, you know, Lord Hanuman revealed his chest and Lord Ram and Sita came out like that, he'll be able to take Krishna out from there. So he started tearing off his chest and he was trying to, like, dig and all that. And then suddenly Gadadhar Pandit realized, oh my God, I'll have to really now use some other technique. So he very calmly and gently he pacified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, it's okay, have patience. Krishna will come. Look, and then he tried to, like, you know, divert his attention. Look, Krishna is there in this deity form. Krishna is non-different from his holy name. So like that, in different ways, Gadadhar Pandit was actually trying to convince Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to, you know, continue tearing at his chest and hurting himself. So we very, very expertly, but very calmly and soberly, he actually diverted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attention away from tearing his chest and all that. So this is something that Sachi Mata was observing from inside. And she was extremely pleased to see that Gadadhar Pandit was able to control this restless Nimai. Because whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go into all these moods, nobody could go near him. Especially Sachi Mata was very scared to go near him. But she saw that Gadadhar Pandit was not only afraid to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but very peacefully and calmly was able to divert his mind. So immediately she came out and she requested Gadadhar Pandit. She said that, Gadadhar, I saw the way you pacified my restless Nimai. From now onwards, I never want you to leave his side. You always be with him. Throughout his life, you please be with him. So what more Gadadhar Pandit wanted? He just, you know, obviously he was always very, very attached to Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted this blessing only. So he got that permission also, sort of authority and authorization from Sachi Mata. So he was very happy to always be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, even, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, later on, there were many pastimes in Navadvip, but later on when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he moved to Jagannath Puri, not many devotees were allowed to go with him. There were very selected handful, and Gadadhar Pandit was one of them who was allowed to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not bear separation. He was also very, very attached to Gadadhar Pandit, and he was allowed to go and reside in Jagannath Puri with him. And there are many, many pastimes that happen in Jagannath Puri with Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first of all, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found a deity, a Gopinath deity, in one of the gardens. And, you know, when he found that deity, he actually gifted that deity to Gadadhar Pandit. And that deity is none other than, because it was found in a garden which is also called Tota, so it is called as Tota Gopinath deity. And Gadadhar Pandit, for the rest of his life, he dedicated his life to serving this Tota Gopinath deity and to reside in Jagannath Puri Dham. So he had taken that Kshetra Sannyas, that I'm always going to be in Jagannath Puri Dham and I'm never going to leave Jagannath Puri Dham. And I'm always going to worship my beautiful Tota Gopinath deity, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has himself given to me. And in that garden of Tota Gopinath, Gadadhar Pandit would every day read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the audience was none other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would personally come to hear Gadadhar Pandit recite the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And it is said that again and again they would recite, for example, Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes. 100 times he would recite Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes like that. Again and again they would read various pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And both of them would be so absorbed in reading that with the tears, their tears, all, because that time obviously Bhagavatam was not like us on soft copy or, you know, hardbound book and all that. It was written on paper leaves. So all the ink had been washed away by their tears, completely by their tears. And it is said later on when Srinivas Acharya went, you know, because Srinivas Acharya was looking to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as soon as, whichever personality was trying to meet, all those personalities had just left their body before Srinivas Acharya went. So when he went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left his body in Puri. And that time, you know, Gadadhar Pandit actually met him, and Gadadhar Pandit gave him a task. He said that, look, because of our, you know, our tears, this manuscript is completely washed out. Can you get me another copy of Srimad Bhagavatam? And that time, not that, okay, I'll go and buy one more book and come. They had to really go and search for the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srinivas Acharya left, and then by the time he came back, even Gadadhar Pandit had left. So like that, you know, the tears had completely washed off that Srimad Bhagavatam, which Gadadhar Pandit used to recite to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu daily in that Tota Gopinath temple. And talking about always being with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachi Mata's instruction that you don't leave the side of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at all, he would, once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was planning to go to Vrindavan, and obviously Gadadhar Pandit did not want to bear separation from him. He did not want to stay away from him. So he also started going with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, okay, Gadadhar Pandit is following me. Now I'll have to do something about it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reminded Gadadhar Pandit. For the first, you know, time he reminded Gadadhar Pandit, he stopped him and said, Gadadhar Pandit, you go back. Why are you coming with me? You have taken Kshetra Sanyas that you will never leave Jagannath Puri Dham, and right now you are coming with me. So he reminded him of his vow of Kshetra Sanyas. And Gadadhar Pandit said, because very clever, no? Devotees are specially expert in, you know, philosophy and arguing back and convincing you. Look, they are more expert than Krishna in, you know, giving him back his own philosophy. So Gadadhar Pandit said that, wherever you are, my lord, it is Neelachal Dham. So I'm not breaking my Kshetra Sanyas. Wherever you are, I will also be there. So that is now not breaking my Kshetra Sanyas. And anyway, speaking of my Kshetra Sanyas, let it go to Rasatal. We say, no, bhaad mein jai, like that. Let it go to hell. My Kshetra Sanyas vow, let it go to hell. I don't care about it. Okay, so like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first gave that reason, you've taken Kshetra Sanyas, you should not leave Neelachal and come. But he said, wherever you are, my lord, it is Neelachal, and I anyway don't care about my Kshetra Sanyas. Let that vow go to hell. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, okay, I'll have to, you know, give him some stronger argument. So he said, no, but you actually are going to worship your Tota Gopina deity. That is your seva for this lifetime. How can you give the worship of your Gopina deity and come with me? And then again, Gadadhar Pandit said, my lord, when I'm serving your lotus feet, it is millions of times more than serving Gopina deity. So that is also fine. I'm not breaking up that vow as well. I'm not giving up that dharma of, you know, worshipping Gopina deity, because I'm still continuing to serve your lotus feet. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, oh my God, what should I do? So then he said, Gadadhar Pandit, he said that there will be badnami. Badnami means I will have ill name, ill repute. People will think that I made you break your vows, and that is why, you know, you came with me, you did not care about this, because I told you, Gadadhar Pandit, you come with me and all that. And again, Gadadhar Pandit assured him. He said that, no, I will take that blame on myself. And anyway, you go your own way, I will tell people that I am actually going to Sachi Mata. So I will not walk along with you, I will just walk on the side, as if I am not in your party. I will continue walking like that, so that the blame does not come on you, that ill repute does not come on you, that you made me break my vow of Kshetra Sanyas and giving up the service of Gopinath deity. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no arguments. Three arguments he tried: Kshetra Sanyas, serving Gopinath deity, and there will be ill repute if you break your vows. All three did not work. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept walking, and Gadadhar Pandit, as if he is not with him, he kept walking on the side. And they reached Katak already. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, okay, I'll have to do something, because he's not going to give up. He's going to come with me. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally told him Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Gadadhar Pandit, this is your Ichha. Tomar Ichha that you come with me. Your personal desire is to come with me. But my desire is that you keep your two vows. My desire is that you don't give up your two dharma. Dharma means the duties that you have, which is keeping, being in the kshetra, kshetra sannyas, and also worshipping Gopinath deity. That is my personal desire for you. So your personal desire is to come, but my satisfaction and my happiness will be in if you then stay back here and you actually continue worshipping the Gopinath deity. And he said, now don't say anything further. You have my shapat. Shapat means, you know, in Marathi also that word is there. Shapat means, you know, you have my promise that now you will not argue anything further. Because he thought Gadadhar Pandit will again defeat him in an argument like he defeated the first three. So then Gadadhar Pandit realized that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is not I go with him. His happiness is that I stay back over here. And just that thought that it's not going to manifest, I won't be able to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just with that thought, he fainted over there. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to collect him, gather him and take him back to Jagannath Puri. So this is how, you know, Gadadhar Pandit was very, very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and never wanted to be separated even for a moment. He did not care about any vows. And this was the bond of love between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. It is actually said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also equally attached to Gadadhar Pandit. He could not bear separation. Obviously, he is Radharani. So he could not bear separation from him. But he did not want. He did not want that everybody thinks that, oh, Gadadhar Pandit gave up everything and just, you know, gave up his vows and came with me. He did not want Gadadhar Pandit to get that ill reputation. So he just told, he had to use the ultimate weapon, that it is not my desire. My satisfaction will be and my happiness will be if you stay back here and you fulfill your two vows. So like that, Gadadhar Pandit had to unfortunately stay back. He could not go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he continued worshipping his Tota Gopinath deity. And it is said that, obviously we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually chose this Tota Gopinath deity only to end his pastimes. They were having kirtan in the garden, in the courtyard of the Tota Gopinath temple. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went and merged into the deity. And it is said that obviously because Gadadhar Pandit could not bear separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was completely broken when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wound up his pastimes and left this world. So Gadadhar Pandit, it is said, he quickly, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know, wound up his pastimes at the approximate age of 42. So obviously still very young, and Gadadhar Pandit was 1 year younger than him. But it is said that Gadadhar Pandit started aging very quickly after that. His body started aging very quickly, and in fact he could not even then stand up, because Tota Gopinath deity was a standing deity at that time. So he could not even stand up and garland Gopinath properly. And Gopinath, just because of his affection and, you know, to reciprocate with the sincere service attitude of Gadadhar Pandit, he actually sat down. So I'm sure many of us have taken darshan in Jagannath Puri, but that's the only Krishna deity which is sitting down. With his lap, like, you know, his legs are folded like this and he's sitting down. So he just sat down so that it's easy for Gadadhar Pandit to then garland him. But it is said that, you know, Gadadhar Pandit could not survive for much longer after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left his body. And within 11 months, he also wound up his pastimes and he also actually merged in the Tota Gopinath deity. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Gadadhar Pandit wound up his pastimes, and this is how he was so much attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so much attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could not bear separation from him. So we'll end the class here. It's time up. Any questions or comments or corrections from anybody?
Hare Krishna Mataji. You mentioned that Gadadhar Pandit is the devotional energy of the Lord. So does that mean that when the devotees feel inspired to do some particular service or in their service, that's Gadadhar Pandit? Is that what it means?
So he's, yes, that is true, because the translation also said like that. So he's the devotional energy. He's the Ladani Shakti of the Lord. And obviously that is why he is Radharani, non-different from Radharani. So Yes, in a way you can say that yes, if devotees are feeling inspired to do that service, they are experiencing the bhakti shakti or that particular shakti aspect. But devotees also always, you know, cross-check if they are, you know, not that, oh, I got inspired by the internal energy of the Lord and then, you know, just take up the service. Devotees are always practical and, you know, they don't just listen to their mind because it could be the mind's dictation as well. So devotees then always check with Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, with Adhya Guru or, you know, Siksha Guru, with Sadhu and Shastra before they... But if they are feeling inspired, for example, to do a lot of book distribution or something like that, under the, you know, under the guidance of other devotees, they've been given that service and they're feeling very inspired to do that and they do that well, yes. They are being empowered by the Shakti of the Lord. That is true.
Then can they pray to Gadadhar Pandit for more of that Shakti?
Yeah, for more Shakti? Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, we can pray definitely to Gadadhar Pandit for... And we definitely pray to him that we develop that same attachment he had for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's something we can pray for.
Nice. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the nice class. Mataji, how this verse mentions Narayan Muni's previous life, that for his previous Sukriti. And Mataji, we have the understanding from Srila Prabhupada's books that when Krishna comes to this world to perform his pastimes, his eternal associates also assist him in performing his pastimes. So Mataji, can you kindly explain if the Narayana Muni, who is the eternal associate of Lord Krishna, why did he need a previous life Sukriti to attain that position of Narayana Muni?
I didn't understand the Sukriti part. What was that?
He needed a previous life Sukriti to attain the possession of Narayana Muni. By hearing the Bhakti Vedantas, he attained the love for Krishna and then he became Narayana Muni. So why did he need that if he was already an eternal associate of Lord Krishna?
Yes, so Narayana Muni is actually an eternal, he's the Bhakti Shakti of the Lord and obviously he's, you know, almost every personality, great personality is Guru in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We see him appear almost, I don't think more than Narayana Muni anybody else appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like throughout the chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, his name is there and guiding and, you know, taking devotees on the devotional path. So Narayana Muni is definitely an eternal associate of Lord Krishna. But sometimes Lord Krishna, he used Bhishma Pitama. Sometimes Lord Krishna uses these personalities to set an example for all of us. And that is what we see him doing over here with Narayana Muni's life. So when we say Sukriti, when you say Sukriti, it is Bhakti on Mukhi Sukriti. So, and then he became Narayana Muni, but obviously sort of he got reinstated back in that position, but he's always been eternally Narayana Muni. But he's talking about like a time zero sort of a thing when he was a Gandharva and he was, you know, singing and all that. So Narayana Muni is trying to tell the power of serving great Bhakti Vedantists whom he served in the first canto as it's described. And the blessings that we get by serving these great Bhakti Vedantists. And you know, what an exalted position you can achieve just by sincerely serving these devotees, honoring their eminence and all that. So that is, I think, more the instructions of the story were more important than what journey Narayana Muni went to. That is what was the lesson meant for us. Otherwise, Narayana Muni is always an eternal associate of the Lord. He did not get that Sukriti to become Narayana Muni. No, he's eternally situated. He's Brahma's son. So obviously, he's eternally Brahma's son. Like, you know, in every kalpa we hear about that. So, anybody else has any? Okay, we'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Guru Premanande. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.